Hello, my name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's new artwork One and Other. The date today is the 17th of August 2009 and the time is 12:15 a.m. If I can please ask you to state your full name, your date of birth and where you come from.
Yes, I'm Trevor Charles Sherman. Date of birth is the 14th of March 1950 and I live in a very small village called Winnick in rural Northamptonshire.
Lovely. And how are you today, Trevor?
Hey, excited, I think. This is, this is the culmination. Being here with you, Kate, in here today is the culmination of 6 weeks of fun, absolute fun. And if I could convey something to the guy that this up, Anthony Gormley, it would be, there's so much you see here in terms of, you know, what people come to do and their imagination and their thoughts and all the different things. But I wonder if you can really imagine just how much it's contributing to a lot of people even before we get here. And I got a feeling there's going to be sort of a roll onto this as well. It has been really good fun getting here. And, you know, this is the next step, being here.
Wonderful. And what is it that you're enjoying so much? Do you is there anything special? What is it that's special about this experience for you?
It's reflected in what a lot of people. I got to say, our friends have divided into those that get it and those that don't, and those that get it are here with us. And lots more would love to be here with us and can't for work reasons, odd time of the day this is, of course. And they're abroad, you know, and things like that. And I've had so many text messages on the way down. And what it is, it's about being part of something that we know we will talk about for a long time in the future. And I guess the grander thing, which I've, you know, also picked up is, this is my own thought on it as well, is being part of history. Piece of history in a very historic site as well, you know, that this square, this is London, especially at night. and to be here and to be part of that is fabulous. And then the whole community thing, I keep coming back to the word, Kate, community. I was inspired by what I've chosen to do, which is to, yeah, I'm singing, but I'm leading everybody that's come with us in singing. And these are some good old belters of songs like Jerusalem and things like that. And when I was a kid in the 1950s, the Wembley Cup final always started with community singing. And a guy called Ralph Reeder, who was the part of the gang, not the gang show, yes, gang show, a Boy Scouts movement, gang show, he would lead it. And I always thought that was a fabulous part of the cup final. Right at the beginning, it just set the scene for everything that was going to happen. And so, in a way, what I'm doing here is recreating that, not in Wembley, but in Trafalgar Square. And the great thing is, I've got a 72-year-old guy that's come down with me today. He lives in Uppingham, in Rutland. He travelled down to Northamptonshire, came on the coach with me, and he's an original member of the gang show. Mm. Isn't that nice? Mm.
Wonderful.
Yeah, you know, so and we've got people with us from two, there's a little two-year-old with us today, through to, I guess, 72. And my grandchildren are here today. They've driven down. They didn't come with me on the coach, but my 8-year-old Georgina, 9-year-old Charlie, and my daughter Amanda are down as well today. So we think this is something, you know, that they'll talk about. Now take the other side of it. It's given us a great opportunity to extend some work we were doing already for Help the Heroes. And it's been a fabulous response from people linking this to a charity, Just Giving site, Just Giving page. The lovely messages and the lovely sentiments that are coming through. And I've just asked people, give us a tenner and dedicate a song or ask for a reading, you know. And yeah, people have given us a tenner, but you know, we've had, what, 5 people so far give us £100 each. People have been very generous. And you have to sort of keep this balance. It's not just about raising money, but it's doing very well for a very worthwhile charity. And local businesses, and I'm especially pleased our 3 local sports teams on football, on soccer, it's the Cobblers, Northampton Town Football Club, on rugby, it's the Saints, which is the rugby football club, and then the Steelbacks, which is our cricket, Northampton County Cricket, all got behind this, given us product, match tickets, and things like that that we're raffling and auctioning and so on. And I'm wearing their shirts for them on the plinth, getting my picture taken up there as well. So it's just involved lots of people. And we have BBC Radio Northampton with us. They've travelled, one of their reporters has travelled down with his portable recording equipment, taking in sort of interviews with people, me, various other people. And that's going on breakfast at 5 in the morning. Talking about breakfast, we've come down on a coach from a pub, the Chequers in Ravensthorpe in Northamptonshire. We shall be going back there at about 4:30. Think about us if you're still working, Kate. We'll be having a full English breakfast, all of us that have been down here today. So, it's got lots of angles to it, lots of touches, lots of about people doing something together, being part of something. Yeah, I'm the sort of catalyst for it because I've been chosen to be on the plinth. This is not about me. This is about all of those people being here. And, I guess, as one of the local newspapers said, Trevor preparing to be living art. It is, isn't it? It really is capturing the spirit of exactly, I hope, what Anthony Gormley wanted to happen, which is different people, different things, different sentiments, different motivations. But the great thing is, as far as I'm concerned, just involving so many other people and drawing them in and letting them have their piece of it and letting them have something that they will remember for a long time.
You're going to be doing a community sing-along, is
yes.
that right? Would you like to say a little bit more about your decision to do that and about how that will happen on the plinth?
Yeah, the decision to do it came from this Wembley thing
yeah.
that I've spoken about already. They've all got songbooks. I've got my songbook, but I've got a few more sort of stage directions, if you like, you know. We've got a microphone system, you know, battery PA system. We start with Morning Has Broken, which is a particularly lovely one, I think. And we go on with a series of other ones. Very traditional things, Jerusalem. Puff the Magic Dragon, what a variety of things. Most of them have been chosen and then intermingled by readings by me. And then I've got a short section of dedications, some sad ones for lost people, including somebody who died in the Gulf War, and then some best wishes to people, including from I think a mother and daughter to her husband who's on active duty at the moment somewhere, we don't know where, probably for security reasons and things like that. And then I've got some messages for people all over the world. One point is that a mate of mine now works and lives in New Zealand and he's teaching electrical apprentices, and it will be midday for them when this goes out, and they're taking an hour off from their class to watch the web broadcast way down in New Zealand. Friends in America, friends in Spain, friends in Canada, who were staying up for it. I've had a guy just text me on the way down, really surprised, a guy I've done a lot of work with. He said, going to bed now, but he set his alarm to wake up and watch this. Yeah? Doesn't it capture people's imagination? Isn't that fabulous?
Yeah.
So there's so much of this has been unexpected. We just set out on let's go and do a bit of a sing-song. You know, maybe there'll be a few tourist pigeons and so on. Got people with me, people all over the world. Fabulous.
Would you like to say a little bit about Help the Healers and who they are?
I guess a charity that I've been aware of, but only come to be doing any support of for the last few months. Very important. I think, I've had to say to people, this is not a political charity, very much not. So although we've got a lot of concerns about should we be in Afghanistan right now with the this Thursday, the elections coming up, and now somebody announcing that they're going to be maybe there for 40 years, we've just had the 201st person who's been killed in action there. This charity is about supporting injured servicemen and women and their families, and they're building facilities here in the UK, a number of recovery centres, and they have their main hospital, if you like, in Selly Oak near Birmingham. A lot of it's about battle, mental fatigue and things like that, physical injuries, and about supporting the families. So where a soldier may be flown home who's injured, his family can stay with him in the same unit, which hasn't been possible before. So we're not commenting on, they are not commenting, I'm not commenting on their behalf here, but they don't comment on, you know, are the soldiers that doing the right thing there? You know, do they have the right strategy? Do they have the right resources or anything else? And it's primarily about the actions that are taking place in Afghanistan and Iraq at the moment.
And why did you choose this charity organisation to raise awareness for?
Well, because back in June, the gym where my wife and I go, which is in a small village near us called Long Buckby in Northamptonshire, they wanted to have an open day to get members, raise awareness in the community that, you know, you don't have to be young and gorgeous to go to a gym. You know, that's probably why they chose my wife and I, who are in our 50s. The young lad who was an instructor there at the time, he was given the choice of which charity, and he was ex-military, and he'd had the experience of having friends, you know, colleagues injured, and knew what this charity did. So he was given the choice, we all got behind it, and about the time that event closed off and the fundraising for that closed off, I got the email from you guys to say you're on the plinth, Trevor. And it just was a natural choice to extend the stuff that we've been doing already. And my wife will do the same. She's coming on the plinth on the 15th of September, and we will just hold the Just Giving site open. None of the people out here know that. I'm announcing that today, that she's going on the plinth. So you'll have her in this room and do a similar interview with her, September Fien. We're just going to keep it going. And I've set the close-off date as Christmas Eve, which seems like a good time to sort of close that off. And the good thing is, using Just Giving as the facility for gathering the money, is that the charity gets the money on a weekly basis. They don't have to wait for it. Mm-hmm. It's there straight away. And they manage all the gift aid, things like that. Very worthwhile charity. Lots of goodwill towards that charity from all of my friends. Nobody says no. Everybody says that really is worth doing.
Who's your wife?
Sue. Yeah, she's here obviously tonight. I think she will be obvious by having a very pronounced Union Jack t-shirt on and a Union Jack hat. Yeah.
Brilliant. Can I ask you now to say a little bit about yourself? I'll ask you that very generally and very openly at the moment. What springs to mind when I ask you to say a little bit about who you are as a person?
Who I am? Yeah, okay. I can't remember the three words that I used on the site. I think one of them was energetic, probably, fun-loving. And I would say, if the third one wasn't, sort of a bit of a risk-taker, I suppose. Very, very happy doing things that are outside of a lot of other people's comfort zone. Professionally, I've just about retired. I'm 59 and a half, I think, from memory. And I did say to myself, well, I was going to retire at 55. The last 15 years, management consultant on my own account. A lot of the work I do is leadership training and coaching and things like that. I think other things about me. I'm a grandfather, as you know. 2 grandchildren here today. I've been married almost 40 years. In fact, I got married on my 20th birthday. So next March, when I celebrate my 60th birthday, on the very same day, I'll be celebrating 40 years of marriage with Sue, which is pretty good going, isn't it? Amanda, our daughter, is 38. The grandchildren are 8 and 9. And we live in a lovely... I've shown a picture of the cottage, but we live in a lovely rural community. Lived there about 18 years. So I guess life looks good for me, you know. Especially, I didn't plan to retire exactly now, but basically ran out of work and didn't panic and thought, well, this is a signal to me, just stop and do some other things. And this came along pretty much at that time. and sort of, oh, it's just taken off, you know. But I've got lots of other things that I'm doing. I mean, amongst other things, a lot of family history research at the moment. Get to a certain point in your life, I think, and you want to know a lot more about where you've come from and your roots and things like that. So I've been doing a lot of things in connection with that for my family, my wife's family, and so on. Absolute fun. And like this, puts me in touch with lots of other people. You know, long lost relatives that we never knew about and things like that. Yeah. What else can I tell you?
Okay, can you say a little bit more about your family history? What you know about your kind of ancestry?
Yes, I do. On my father's side, it seems to go back very locally to near where I currently live. That side of the family is either Huntingdonshire, Cambridgeshire, or Bedfordshire. And it looks as though we go back to somewhere, probably up near Peterborough, as far as I can tell, from about 250 years ago. I was rather hoping to trace my family history back to a little place in Suffolk, because the Shermans from Suffolk, my last name is Sherman, were the Shermans that were large formers of the United States of America, including General William Sherman, who the tank was named after, because I've always been called Tank by my mates at school, you know, this is the name Sherman. But I don't think I'm going to trace back in the immediate family on that side. On my mother's side, it's been very interesting because my mother was from Lewisham, and just around the corner from here, Aldwych, is where she worked during the war, during the Blitz. So, and she, I mean, when she was alive, she showed me where she used to work. She showed me up Kingsway, where the Lion's Corner Shop used to be, that she used to have lunch every day. Obviously a long time before I was born. But she lived and worked in London during the war, and that's really admirable. From her side of the family, we go back to Ireland, to County Kerry. I've got Welsh, Irish, no Scottish. But I've come to a bit of a false stop on County Kerry. But now I realise why I like County Kerry so much.
And did you grow up in Northampton yourself?
No, I grew up in Huntingdonshire. That's where I'm from. So my nearest big town city was Cambridge, which is where I'm from. Yeah.
Can I ask you to now say a little bit about perhaps the experiences that you feel have shaped you and the person that you are today?
Yep. I guess Sue, my wife. I guess other things have been around, I suppose the moral code, if you like, for life has come from the fact that I'm a member of a fraternity called Freemasonry, which meets just up the road here. In fact, my London Lodge meets just up the road from here in Great Queen Street. My father-in-law was a Freemason, and his father before him. So Ken Sr. joined this lodge here in 1933. Ken, my father-in-law, in 1951, I joined it in 1986. So there's a sort of whole side to the way of life that's come from being a Freemason. I guess being a family man has been very important to me. Not having a son, I suppose, is a disappointment, only having a daughter, but I would never tell her that because she's absolutely gorgeous. And now I've got a grandson, and he's here tonight. And he's absolutely fabulous. He's handsome, he's clever, he's witty. And Georgina, the granddaughter, is so much like my daughter was at her age 8. It's absolutely incredible. So I think it's very much the forming things have been about being always being part of something, family, community, Freemasonry, and other things, always, you know, and professionally, always being part of something. But a lot of the time being also somebody who leads a lot of things, you know. Hence, I ended up doing leadership training, yeah, and coaching of senior leaders in business. It's just been a natural extension to what I do.
And how have you enjoyed your profession, your working life?
How have I enjoyed it? Yeah, if I look back at it, it went through phases of approximately 10 years, and I've been working for nearly 40 years in my career, so it's been fabulous to look back and see. I can't pretend it was entirely planned, and I did start as a management trainee many years ago for Courtauld's Group. Then I went into sales, and then that formed where I went thereafter. Not particularly well planned, I would say, but I always had a notion that I would work for myself, and have done for the last 15 plus years. And that's left me where I am now, which is able to gracefully retire and feel very comfortable doing that, and look forward, I hope, to a very active retirement, doing lots of things and getting involved in lots of things, and always with other people, either part of a team, leading a team, making things happen, stirring things up. Yeah?
Yeah, brilliant. Is there anything else that you would like to say about you or about taking part in one another?
No, I'm just so pleased to be part of this. And I guess I was thinking about this. Do I feel responsible for the enjoyment of the people that I brought down with me who will be there in 25 minutes and expect to see me go up on the cherry picker? My view of the people that are part of this with me is these are people that set out to enjoy themselves and will make their own enjoyment out of this. And I'm just, you know, facilitating that happening. And the hour is important, but everything that's led up to it and everything that follows it is also important. And it's great to be able to do that for people and give them what I'm experiencing, which is, you know, this I said much earlier to you, being part of history. Sounds very awfully grand, doesn't it, being part of history, but giving ourselves this sort of thing to remember for a long, long time. Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you very much,
Trevor. No, thank you. Enjoyed talking to you, Kate. Well,